Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And we're just so grateful for another friend from California, Larry Sand. You are a dear friend to Don Wildman, who introduced me to you, Larry. And we're grateful that you've taken time out of your very busy schedule. Things are hopping over there. How are you?
I'm fine, Diana. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and there's so much going on here, I wouldn't even know where to start, but whatever you want to do, let me know.
We will try to cover some things. There's so much covered. You know, Dawn hasn't been on with us for a while. She's taking some time off because there's some electioneering going on over there. That's very important. Did I see the name and the... I think I saw a headline, Tim Donnelly. Now, is he the one that's running for California's governor, or is that another state that I was seeing?
No, you've got it right. Tim is the Republican, well, one of two Republican candidates. He's more conservative than the other gentleman is. And one of them will face Jerry Brown, who's, well, the Democrat. And look, when I say he's a Democrat, they're worse Democrats. But it's going to be very tough to beat Jerry Brown because he's pretty popular, and most of the voters in California are Democrats. So it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a miracle, right? Well, the headline that I saw looked pretty good. That's why I was thinking, am I looking at this right for someone to sound hopeful in California? You know, that's kind of unusual. That's why I had to do an about take.
Yeah, really. Yeah, well, you see, I mean, Reagan, of course, was a governor from California, but things have changed, and the Republicans we typically have had are more moderate, more centrist, like Pete Wilson and George Duke-Majan and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so, yeah, somebody like Donnelly is certainly refreshing because he's a, you know, a real conservative. But that having
well,
been said,
I'm going to be praying for y'all because I know, you know, Dawn loves California, but she hates what has been done to California. And I think the rest of the country feels the same way. You know, where California goes, we pretty much follow. And, you know, a lot of, unfortunately, very bad politicians have taken the helm, you know, in our state. But first of all, Larry, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask God, you know, the sad thing about this nation is, you know, the history is no longer remembered. And one of the most powerful things, I think, for children to remember is that in the foundation of this nation, you know, great men that they've heard of, George Washington, did not mind bending their knees and bowing their head and asking God for help. So we want to do that tonight because this conversation with you is very important, and I believe it's going to be important to not just me but the listeners. So I'm going to ask God for help with it, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are God. Thank you that you know the beginning and the end. Thank you that you are the God of truth, powerful. There's nothing like it. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will give Larry and me the words that need to be said, no more and no less, that you will help us to impart what it is that you need for people to listen and understand. And, Lord, we thank you that your word says to ask you for wisdom, and you would give it liberally. And, Lord, you have done that with the founding fathers. Look at what we have, this nation, the land of the free, the home of the brave. It has been a land full of milk and honey. But, Lord, times have changed. And men and women have forgot their beginning. So, Lord, we come before you knowing where we've begun and asking you for help. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we started it, and so now here we go. Off to the races we go, because I do have a lot of questions. But maybe to start off, because Common Core is the national issue. Isn't it funny? Some people still says that, you know, Obamacare is, and I believe it is. There's two top issues in my brain, and that is Obamacare and Obamacore. They're both Obama initiatives. David Axelrod has said that. Of course, they're telling him, hush up. Don't say that's an Obama initiative, but it is, and they're both destroyers. And I hate to say it because many people is destroying their health. I was just talking to somebody, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is some of these major surgeries that you used to just take for granted. You know, if you need a pacemaker, you know, after an angioplasty, that you would get it done, right? Not anymore. You have to wait 60 days. And, you know, there's a lot of changes, and people are just finding out because, unfortunately, what was sold to us, as we know, you know, you really have to look at the fine details. And when this thing had so many pages, that should have told us something is very wrong. Because the Founding Fathers, when they did the Constitution, you could hold it in your one hand, right, one hand.
Really?
But
yeah.
This was so complicated. You need lots and lots of hands. But let's talk about you first of all. If you don't mind, just tell a little bit about yourself, Larry, and what you're doing and where people can go to your website and look at some of your blogs by chance.
Okay, well, thank you, Diane. I appreciate that. I'm the president of something called the California Teachers Empowerment Network, and we try to get information to teachers because most information that teachers get about their profession comes from the school district or their union or, God forbid, the mainstream media, and they're really in the dark, and we just try to get teachers the facts, and we do this through newsletter, and we have a website, which is ctenhome.org. And we realized a few years ago that the general public was really in the dark, too, because most people get their information from the mainstream media. And as I think we would agree, Diana, the information there is frequently comes with a certain spin, shall we say. In everything that the mainstream media does, the truth is second to an agenda. So people are really in the dark about education issues. And I don't think there's anything more important than education, because we can talk about the horrors of Obamacare or radical Islam or the economy, and these are certainly important things, but I don't think there's anything more important than education, because unless we have an educated populace, nobody will be able to understand these things. So we've got to get education moving. We have to get it in better shape, and there are many ways to do that, and that's sort of what I'm trying to accomplish by just getting the truth out there and telling people how bad it is and how things can get better. Certainly not all is lost. If it was, I'd be out golfing and fishing. I am a retired teacher. I retired from teaching 2009, and now my second career has really kicked in. And just one last little plug. I also blog at a place called unionwatch.com. I have a weekly blog there, and I have a monthly piece at City Journal, which is an online and a print magazine.
Well, thanks, Larry, and thank you for coming on again. You know, I just really value all the perspectives that we hear. You know, it's always good, I think, to make contact with people in different places because, you know, you don't know what they're doing. You need to know what they're doing because it does affect you, because we are the United States of America. And, you know, the media, unfortunately, as you have said, you know, they're not really, they haven't been truthful. We've been treated like little children, you know, in regard to especially what's going on in education, because we had to pull information out. You know, instead of the media doing the research for us, We really could not depend. Like you said, there was so much spin. People were being sold Common Core as this wonderful fix, right, for the education system in the country. But when you look at it, they're invalid, untested. You know, somebody's theory, and not just one body, a whole bunch of bodies. And unfortunately, the more you dig, the more you find out there's an awful lot of money put in. It's an investment for somebody like Bill Gates. You know, he can really afford to put as many millions as he wants to because he knows it's going to come back, and it has come back with a vengeance, and, you know, it's benefiting a lot of his friends. But also there is power, you know, Obama and, you know, his followers. I mean, they're all in on it. One is for money. I think the Bill Gates and that bunch is definitely for money. Some for workforce. You know, businesses don't really understand. They're thinking this is going to give them the workforce they want. But
I have a slightly different way of looking at this. I, you know, Bill Gates is worth a gazillion dollars, and I don't know if he's in this for the money, Diana, or he really thinks he's doing the right thing. And I don't know. It could be a little bit of both. Sure, I don't know what his motives are, but obviously the outcome is really bad. I mean, Common Core is a bad idea on two counts. First of all, the Feds coming in and plopping down, you know, their will on 45 states, even though the states have to sign on to it, but they were coerced, as we know. I mean, it's a bad idea politically, and on top of that, the standards are not very good. For example, here in California, we're not going to be teaching algebra now until the ninth grade. We had been teaching it in the eighth grade. It had been successful, but Common Core says, no, you teach in the ninth grade. Now, why do we have to stop doing something good that was working? The big picture here is being missed, that there's nothing wrong with – California has good standards. Massachusetts has good standards.
Well, you have the best math standards, if I understand it. I mean, you have the best math standards in the country.
We probably do. And we have the very low achievers. But with everybody, you know, getting onto this Common Core bus, nobody's stopping and saying, wait a minute, the standards aren't the problem. Something else is the problem. The problem is that the standards are good. There's something wrong with the delivery of education. And that's where the emphasis should be in this. This whole Common Core thing, Diane, is such a distraction that none of us need.
It really is. And not just a distraction. I think to myself, it is dangerous. You know, when I look at the 500 signatories, mental health, you know, and when you look at the list, I mean, these are people from Harvard, you know, different colleges, you know, the tops in their field, and they're speaking out about the danger to Common Core because developmentally it was not appropriate. So there's so many facets to it, and it's not just hurting the children, and what one of your concerns, of course, major concerns, is what it's doing to the teachers. And I was just looking at here an article. Now, this was May 19th. Oh, how interesting. That was 2 days ago. It says California should delay Common Core tests for at least 2 years. Now, I had looked at an article just previous to this one that was bragging about the fact that the delivery in California is different from New York, and that's why it's being embraced in California versus, you know, what's happening on in New York. But when you look at that title, delay Common Core testing for at least 2 years, it's fixing to come down, isn't it? Whatever that other article had said was being perceived as good by California is fixing to go crashing down when these tests.
Yeah, well, I think the whole thing is just not sustainable. It's analogous to Obamacare in that sense. It's overly ambitious, it's too big to succeed, and it will fail eventually. Of course, there will be blood and gore until it's finally realized. But I don't think Obamacare or Obamacare are sustainable. It's riddled with too many holes. And you bring in the teachers. Interesting, a lot of teachers are not against it or are for it, at least in moderation. But I don't think they've seen the full brunt of it yet. And we're in the process of polling our people now, members of my organization. I wish I could give you results, but they won't have them for another week or so. You know, just to see if they're really ready for this, if they know what the standards are, if they're ready to teach them, because they're going to be testing kids on this soon. And if the teachers aren't ready to teach it, it's going to be a nightmare. And what very few people talk about is the cost of this. Because everything is going to have to be redone, like textbooks, and teachers need to be trained. And then you're going to need to hire coaches to make sure that the teachers are teaching the right things. Is a huge expense here. And that little bit of money that Obama is dangling in front of teachers is just going to be a pittance compared to what's needed. So the states are going to start suffering, and I think that's when it could start unraveling at that point. And people are really, really getting upset about this, as you know. Digress only slightly, I wish people were upset when the feds first got involved in education in 1965, Diana, the first Elementary and Secondary Act. Lyndon Johnson was president. Remember then? I do. You probably don't. But seriously, and it's just been one thing after another. Now there's No Child Left Behind, then it was Race to the Top. Now it's Common Core. This is just the next step in a long series. And I'm glad people have awakened now, but it's kind of late in the game.
Well, Larry, do we really need the Department of Ed? You know, I've heard that before, you know, debated presidential candidates. How much money? I mean, we would just save so much money. All the stress would be gone. Each state would be their own little experimental or whatever, you know, and they could – I mean, I think it would just change everything if that Department of Ed was gone.
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It does absolutely no good, except it gives people work. It's just a typical federal government boondoggle, bureaucratic boondoggle. It keeps growing and growing and more money and more people. It started with Jimmy Carter, the great, great President Jimmy Carter, yes, I'm being facetious, in 1979, and he basically threw a bone to the National Education Association, the big teachers union, because they wanted it. And once, as you know, Daniel, you know, once they get, well, once the bureaucracy gets started, it's like the worst cancer, you just can't stop it. And it's, I couldn't agree with you more. They did, it's useless. I mean, if it's, it's worse than useless. It's doing harm.
Well, I think that's a great mantra. I know they tried to talk a little bit about, you know, on the last presidential election, but I think 8 years later, I think people are so bogged down. I mean, people are crushed, you know, with everything. And then to think of, you know, it's bad enough that you have to work two or three jobs, but then you have to come home and you deal with screaming kids that are, you know, hurting in different ways. And, you know, parents are now getting wind of it. It is common core. So I'm thinking this is going to really be a call that I think is going to be heard louder. So I'm hoping the next presidential election, some of these candidates would start using this mantra and really back it up by their record, you know. And
I think that's happening. And as you know, unlike Obamacare, is voluntary. I know the feds coerce the states, but the state legislatures are, you know, are agreeing to this, and there is a political solution to vote these people out. And I don't think Jeb Bush is a bad guy. I think he's well intended, but I think if he decides to run for president, the fact that he is heavily behind Obamacare or Common Core is going to hurt him. I mean, and as well it should. And as I say, I don't think he's a bad guy, but he made a big. He
I think
stepped
they will.
That
yeah,
one.
I think that's that little issue that is still under the radar for a lot of the big news media. I mean, they're delving in it a little bit, but I think it is going to things are going to change as more people find out about it, and it's only going to go up as far as the number of people mad about it. It's not going to go down. And even teachers, because when I look at what's going on with, I think y'all are having to deal with the same thing we dealt with, which was new laws put in regard to how do we lay off our teachers in times of, budget problems. And you know what? When I saw that, it sounded exactly like ours. And I hate to say this, Larry, I believe they're preparing to, that's one of the ways that they're going to try to fit, to cut the budget, is, you know, can you imagine getting rid of a lot of teachers and then replacing them with TFAs? Because now the job is pretty much scripted. I mean, instead of a teacher, you're going to have a clerk. All they have to do is fill in the blank, push buttons.
I don't know about that.
They don't need a degree by the time they get through with a Common Core being what it is.
Well, I don't know that it's teachers are still going to be needed. You still need somebody who's going to stand there and have to get this information into kids' heads, and that's an art and a science. And I don't think Common Core can destroy that. As far as you touched on getting rid of teachers, which unfortunately is necessary when times get tough, because what most districts do is overhire when times are good. They don't keep things in perspective. They forget that things aren't going to be good for all time, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, we have to lay off some teachers. In the meantime, if you look over a 50-year period, we have grown the teaching ranks by many, many fold. But anyway, just getting back to okay, how do we get rid of the bad ones? Well, here in California, you know, not the bad ones. If we have to get rid of somebody, we don't get rid of the bad ones. We get rid of the newest hires because we have seniority, and seniority is enforced throughout much of the country. I don't know exactly how many states offhand.
It's not going to be in our state anymore. Can you believe that? They're putting in. They started off really just taking seniority off. But then they bowed down because, you know, teachers did get wind of that, so they did put in another measure. But it's based not on seniority alone, but on really the test.
Well, wait. I'm sorry. Where did you say this
in
was?
In our state. In Alabama.
Oh, in Alabama. Okay.
We just passed it. We sure did. We just passed it. So the, I think that's going to be the wave of the future, is they're going to put in not just a seniority as a, you know, one of their determining factors. They're going to add something else, and they're going to put more weight on that teacher's evaluation based on the test routine that really is a part of, you know, Common Core approach. You know, one of the things with the No Child Left Behind ESEA flexibility application waiver, you know, that one of those mm-hmm. things that they check off on their list, you know. So that
well,
is,
but,
unfortunately,
but,
is the way that it's teaching.
But still, the these are state-by-state decisions. And, I mean, frankly, I think seniority is the worst way to do it. And tests do have a place, and I do think tests should be a part of a teacher's evaluation, certainly not the whole thing. I think there are obviously many ways a teacher should be evaluated. But, it, as I say, it's still a state-by-state decision. So, I mean, if you're trying to change things in Alabama, good for you, because seniority is the worst of all possible worlds. I mean, if you're a great teacher and I'm a mediocre teacher and one of us has to go and I signed on the dotted line one day before you did, you, the great teacher, are let go and I keep my job just because I have seniority. I don't think that's a good idea.
If we spoke to somebody from Chicago who was like a teacher of the year or something like that, and he got just a letter. They did not even have the decency to talk to him. He just got a letter, and it was sent to the wrong address. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they send letters. That's what they do. And it's horrible. It's you know, teaching is supposed to be a profession, and you don't get rid of great teachers because they're younger. It's terrible. Nowhere else do they do this. I mean, you know, if you go into a hospital, you get the best doctor. The best doctor may be 30, 40, 50, or 60, but you want the best doctor. You don't want the oldest doctor. It's a crazy way to do things, you know, to make decisions like that. And this is what we're doing to our children.
Yes, and we're hearing a lot of seasoned, you know, teachers here in Alabama that are having to, you know, go ahead and call it quits, which is heartbreaking because, as you said, you know, they've got the most experience, and you know, but they are tired of fighting. Some of them are, not all of them. You know, I still hear from some that's going to try to stick it out, but this Common Core thing is really, I'd like to see the numbers of how many teachers we have lost really because of that. I think it's pretty high.
Well, I don't know. I mean, most teachers, I mean, the polls I've seen, most teachers are for it. The teachers' unions are for it. I don't know if when the testing starts, if they're still going to be for it or after actually teaching it for a full year. I don't think there's been enough time to know how teachers are really going to respond. I do know some teachers just, you know, if you're thinking about retiring, okay, I don't feel like, you know, I've been teaching for 30 years and I don't feel like, you know, learning all this new stuff, I'm going to go. I certainly understand that mentality. But I don't know if it's really affecting younger teachers that way. I think that remains to be seen.
Well, I think you're right. I think, you know, if according to this, in a couple of years, you know, I mean, they were trying to, I guess, put it off a few more years. But at some point, it is going to come down unless some miracle happens. You know, now, we did have a miracle in Alabama. We did have a governor. I don't know if you heard of it, but our governor did stand up and allowed the parents to opt their children out of the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an incredible help because, you know, that was something that states like New York had been hoping and fighting for, you know, instead of this
student
spend policies that they're getting and no telling what else. We did have a governor, which that governor has been against Common Core since the very beginning. So we're praying very hard for a miracle. We do have a chance to put three state school board members in that will turn the tide, and we will have enough to overturn and get this Common Core out of the system. But, you know, as Indiana has seen, they just come back under another disguise. So, you know.
So this
yeah,
is
well,
the,
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, sort of what Indiana did, because Indiana bailed, as you maybe know, but it seems like the standards are pretty. They're just calling them something different now. I mean, so it's. I mean, there's really no change. They only changed the name. But, I mean, we really have to get back to states and letting states do what's best. And if states are, you know, screwing up, frankly, you know, the parents need to rise up and say, we want more for our children. We're taxpayers, we're parents, we deserve more. And, you know, and this is not going to be done through Common Core. It's just not going to work that way. But, you know, maybe Mr. Maybe Mr. Bentley can, you know, Bentley can, and the legislature can get Alabama out. That would be terrific.
Well, I know there's also, you know, good signs in a lot of different places. One of the Carolinas, I can't remember right now which one it was. So I believe the fight is only going to get a stronger and stronger, really, to get rid of Common Core, and then, you know, hopefully down the road, teachers will come along because it is so important. Now, we are seeing them come along, and now have you talked to some of the teachers that have possibly retired or stopped teaching because of what they're seeing in the schools as far as Common Core? Or is it just
I don't know. I don't know anybody personally who's retired. I know teachers who are very unhappy with it, but I don't know anybody who's retired because of it. I think if you're debating whether or not to retire, this may tip you over. I don't think if you're, you know, into your career, and I don't think Common Core is going to chase you out. I mean, maybe after the implementation it might, but just the promise of it, I don't think it's going to chase too many teachers out who are really intent on staying. As I say, if you were, you know, wavering, if you, you know, five marbles over here and five marbles over there, do I stay or do I go? This may be the sixth marble on the go side.
So what is different with California? What part of the implementation, I mean, how is it being implemented there?
The same way it's being implemented everywhere else. I mean, it's national, so it's you know, we're not doing the testing this year. You know, and we just have so many other problems out here. We have a lawsuit now, which is could really make huge waves. I mean, one of the big problems here in California, well, I mentioned seniority is one, and then we have tenure, where after 2 years, if a teacher doesn't do anything horrible in the first 2 years, they essentially have a job for life. And then we have dismissal statutes, which is you basically can't get rid of a bad teacher. It's very hard to get rid of a criminal teacher, and it's almost impossible to get rid of just a plain old incompetent teacher. But we have a lawsuit out here that's in the judge's hands now, and if this lawsuit flies, the tenure, seniority, and dismissal statutes that are in the state education code will, as they exist, will be made unconstitutional, and the decisions would be left to each individual school district, which would, you know, be wonderful. You know, I'm a firm believer in decentralized government and decentralized education. Let each school district figure out how best to reward good teachers and how to get rid of if 10 teachers in a school district have to go, why should they be the 10 newest? It's been proven that it's a very ineffective and it's very harmful. It's obviously unfair to the teachers, and it's certainly unfair to children. It's unfair to the parents. It's unfair to taxpayers. So anyway, just if this is a very important lawsuit, and I mean it's sort of big news in education circles in California. I don't know if it's gotten to Alabama yet, but this is these are the types of things we're dealing with here. We also have a parent trigger law, where after several years, if a school is failing, parents can go in and you know, their petition is passed around. If they get 50% plus one parent to sign on to it, they can change the governance of that school, either turn it into a charter school or get rid of the principal or get rid of the teachers. But it gives parents a lot of power where they really have none before. So, I mean, these are two things that are happening here outside the Common Core. area, because there's nothing too much people can do about Common Core, except, I guess, when politicians are next elected, start holding them accountable. But I don't know that many people in California really care about Common Core. I don't know that it's that big of an issue out here.
I think you kind of hit it on the head, though, when you said that about the testing, because I think the testing is what gets the attention of the teachers and the parents, because everything changes when the testing comes in. I saw a figure where Pearson gets $15 a head per child for every test, and they're tested. They want to test all the time. So, you know, it wouldn't be bad if it was just a few tests, but what happens when testing comes in, it's not just a few tests. They're basically testing all the time. And I think that's going to be when the landscape in California will change. I know that's what did it for our state, because now they're seeing it. So we're hearing more teachers really speaking out against it. And, you know, so I think that's going to be the change for y'all. So I'm glad y'all have not had that, because from the way it sounds, it is just awful. It's just awful, as we've seen with New York rising up, you know, parents and teachers both, you know, principals,
right,
superintendent rising up, and they are, you know, New York
right.
was really on top of the test being very, very bad. You know,
yeah.
I think that was even before the other. But now they've got it. But, you know, Yvonne Gasparino, I look at a Stop Common Core in New York, they've got it, you know. It's the whole kit and caboodle is bad, not just the testing. But that's
right.
why it's been easier for y'all. It is implementation. With them delaying your testing, they were very smart. They pretty much tried to do that with us, too. And I think they learned a lesson from New York. But you know, it's all going to come down anyway, because we're all going to get it, unfortunately, some later. But
I think you're right. I think a lot of this, it's just theoretical to a lot of people, and they will not. And it's a pretty normal. It's been things are theoretical. You don't feel that threatened, but all of a sudden, when it hits home, and your child is literally being affected in a way that you don't like, that's when, you know, the stuff will hit the fan, I think. Because now you don't really, you know, I read a lot of education journals and blogs, and Common Core is a very big subject. But when you look at the mainstream media, there's very little there. I mean, there's just not that much out there. And the only people in California I know who are screaming about it are the Tea Party people, like our friend Don. You know, outside education circles, most people just are not involved. As I say, unless you're a Tea Party person, and then Tea Party people are involved, and then this is one of the reasons that I don't think Jeb Bush has much of a chance, because the Tea Party will turn on him, you know, on a national
stage. It's a little bit like, you know, when you tell a child, don't touch a hot stove, you know, I think every state is like that. You know, they're being told ahead of time, because we've seen what others have already experienced, and we're saying, don't touch the stove. You know, don't touch Common Core. Well, everybody's going to dip into it sooner or later. But when they dip into it, the result's going to be the same. You know, your hand's going to get burned. So, you know, it's a sad thing, because that's really what Dawn and the others have been doing, is they're trying to warn so that California children do not suffer like New York's children are having to suffer. But I think what you're going to find is they're going to have the news so hard around California's neck that by then, when you do have all that implemented fully, they will have all sorts of things. Now, if you fail to take the assessment, they are going to have laws in place ready to meet you and force your hand. And that's, you know, we're looking at that next year, because right now Alabama, you know, with our governor saying we can opt out, well, they're thinking in their little mind, we've got to put a law in there so that parents cannot opt out. And the funny thing is they did it to something called the Alabama Accountability Act, something like that, to make the schools more accountable. And then they did in there that, you know, the little thing in there about, oh, you're going to have to take these assessments. You know, you're going to be forced to if you accept something like a scholarship, educational scholarship, because it gives the schools a way to get more money. If you take some of that scholarship money now in school, you're going to have to force that child to take these assessments. So there you go. They find another way. I hate to be a bearer of that bad news, because unfortunately we're seeing it here in our state. But we're learning, Larry, and we're trying to at least brace ourselves for the future next year. And, you know, primary's coming. When's y'all's primary?
Our primary?
Mm-hmm.
Our primary is June 3rd.
Okay, same as ours. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to hope that you get a good governor to hopefully be one that can see the light at the end of the tunnel regarding this Common Core, and will at least stand with y'all on a lot of issues, stand with the teachers and the students.
Right.
But
the primary is the 3rd, but the election, of course, isn't until November. So, as I said, I'm not overly optimistic of a change, because the current – I mean, California is a pretty blue state. Although, I mean, it's interesting, it's the coast is screaming red, and once you go inland and you go into the farming areas and the small towns, it's quite red. But still, most people live on the coast, so it's a pretty blue state, and I'm not optimistic that a Republican is going to win in November. I mean, we can hope and work, and pray.
Well, Obamacare doesn't help. I mean, Obamacare should make even people that are blue, you know, think twice now, because unfortunately it is now affecting, you know, it wouldn't be so, it's bad enough it affects the pocketbooks, right, Larry, but it also affects your health. So another waker upper.
Yeah, well, I think just jumping to Obamacare for a second, I think that's going to be something of a referendum in 2014 in November. And I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats trying to distance themselves from that and not bring it up and hope their opponents don't. Of course, their opponents, you know, should, you know, politically, you know, should beat them over the head with it, because it's, you know, where do you stand on this? And you just, you know, force a chasm in the Democrat Party, I think, would be a wise idea. But I'm not a political analyst, so...
Well, you know, it's I love to, you know, point people to, you know, the Waldorf schools in California. You know, we love the fact that, you know, you've got the, you know, these high-tech people, you know, engineers, you know, computer people in Silicon Valley, and where do they put their children? They put them in schools without computers. Would you mind giving us a little of your perspective on that, Larry?
I'm sorry, the connection got bad. I heard you say Silicon Valley, and I didn't hear your question.
The Waldorf schools?
The Waldorf schools
that prize themselves without computers. That's been so interesting. And then, you know, you look at the other headline in California, though, about the schools that gave the iPads and then – did they have to take them all back, or what happened to that?
Oh, well, that was just a mess. That was here in Los Angeles. I mean, God, where to begin? And basically, they bought all these kids iPads. But there was no oversight. So if like a kid could lose an iPad, and the district would replace it. Now, you think, you know, maybe there'd be a little black market for these things. Secondly, what they didn't quite realize, because the kids were taking them home, that a lot of these kids are not well-to-do, and they didn't have any internet connection at home. I mean, and there was just so much wrong with it. It just, as I was quoted in the magazine piece, to say it was poorly thought out meant that some thought actually went into it. No thought went into this. And I think it's good that kids know how to use computers. But the rollout in Los Angeles was just a disaster. And going back to your other point, yeah, I'd read that people in Silicon Valley, you know, don't want their kids to use computers in school, which I don't know what to make of that. But I mean, the Waldorf schools, and I have a little bit of experience with them, and one of my best friends, as a matter of fact, sent his kid to one, and both of his kids, he had twins, and after 5 years realized that they were not getting a very good education there. I Waldorf schools are a little too touchy-feely for me. Silicon Valley, you know, they're very, you know, liberal people and, you know, new age, and, you know, maybe if that's one that they want to send their kids, fine with me, but I don't know that I would send my kid to a Waldorf school.
Well, the point that I did kind of get, you know, that kind of took a lot of people aback is, you know, the computer, you know, not needing the computer and the iPad. But then, to me, it kind of makes sense in a way that, you know, you don't, it's not a must-have. I think the same math that took men to the moon is, you know, just as good today. And it's sad because, you know, Professor Milgram says that we don't teach that kind of math anymore. I think he's the one that said he hasn't hired an American, I think, to work with him in a very long time. Our math has been going down. And, of course, you know, we were just kind of shocked when Professor Milgram said that, you know, Common Core is so bad. That he was on the show, he was talking to a mother who said, you know, I recommend that you, if you possibly can or able, homeschool your kid. And I'm thinking,
oh, yeah,
you know,
well, yeah, no, it's funny.
I
met Professor Milgram on your show, in fact, a few years ago. And, yeah, he's certainly one of the most eloquent speakers because he was, I mean, he knows the math standards well, and he has been screaming about them for years, as Dr. Stotsky has on the English standards. But I think it's important to note that we started screwed up math teaching long before computers were in school and long before Common Core was in school. You know, we had this fuzzy math, and it's sort of like, you know, it's more how you felt about the answer than, you know, you didn't have to know 2 and 2 is 4. It was like, how do you feel about that? I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, yeah, I want to stress that this happened long before Common Core. We dumbed down certain things back in the 80s and 90s. I remember I went to education school we could do a whole show on that, in the 1980s, and I didn't learn anything. But I mean, I do remember learning how to teach math, and I could not believe what I was learning because I remember how I was taught math, and I was always good in math. I love math. And I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to teach this. This is just not a way to get kids to learn, not a way to get kids excited. Part of this new way of teaching sort of disdains facts. Well, you know, it's too bad. You have to learn your times table. I know it may not be glorious, it may not be sexy, but you have to learn that 8 times 7 is 56. You just have to know these things. It's like learning the alphabet. In some things you have to memorize. And I don't care what system, if you're using computers, you're using Common Core, we need to get back to certain basics in math and in English because we're going down the wrong road. And Common Core sure isn't helping. But we have, and this is going back to what I said before, this Common Core is a distraction. We've got so many other things wrong in education that need to be corrected, and now we have, like, this other battle that we all have to fight, and it's a crying shame.
Well, we've talked to Charlotte Iserby before, and I'm just reminded of, you know, the Bible, you know, Ecclesiastes, nothing under the sun, and so when you say that, you know, she did remind us, when she comes on, she reminds us over and over, right? This is nothing new. You know, this has been tried before. Now, it's being tried again with a lot more money. You know,
right.
There's a lot more money. There's a lot more power. And they perfected it. You know, they have perfected it. And I do remember Professor Milgram saying, you know, everything was going along because he was, you know, invited to be, you know, on the National Validation Committee to validate these Common Core standards. He says everything was going along, so he thought, and then politics came in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there you go. You know, there's agendas and no telling what else that happened behind the scene and waylaid this thing. But I'm looking at that before we go. Now we're about to run out of time. I'm just thinking of so many more questions. But I want to point out, you have a blog that you do on Union. Is it Union Watch?
Yeah, unionwatch.org, yes.
And you've got some interesting articles in there, and I've looked at the last one that you did, and also there's another one. Well, you've got quite a few of them, but anyway, tell us about a little bit about that blog site. Who are the people that that writes on it? They're mostly teachers or former teachers?
Actually, I'm the. It's about unions in general. We have a very bad public employee pension problem in California. Teachers, firemen, cops, all good people, but the pension, we get defined benefit pensions, and that means we're guaranteed a certain amount of money when we retire, and other industries, you know, private industry really doesn't do that, that people put money in, and then they take the money out when they retire, but here it's different, and the taxpayer's on the hook for a lot of money. Anyway, and so Union Watch is just about how the unions, really the public employee unions, are just killing California, and I was invited to write there just, you know, from about what teachers' unions are doing. So all my pieces, obviously the site is Union Watch, and all my pieces there have something to do with the teacher unions' invasion into education, and its invasion is not hyperbole.
Well, so trying to come up with a budget that y'all can agree on, you know, has got to be really difficult when you've got all those that must be met. So,
the California Teachers Association, and I have this on very good authority, considers our state assembly their house. They control it. They consider themselves the fourth branch of government, and this is not an exaggeration. Essentially, the public employee unions, most notably the California Teachers Association, runs California. Between 2000 and 2013, they were the biggest political spender. They spent $290 million on candidates and causes. And that's not lobbying. That's just candidates and causes, $290 million in 13 years. So,
wow.
So we've got issues. We have union issues here. And that's why it's so hard. So hard to get anything decent through the legislature. That's why this lawsuit I talked about before is happening, because if you can't legislate, then you're going to litigate. And that's why the people started this lawsuit, the Students Matter lawsuit,
now,
which would get rid of tenure.
Is the teachers' union still growing in numbers, or are other teachers finding other ways, other places to put their money in?
Well, I mean, we're not a right-to-work state. That means if you're in a public school teacher in California, you have to pay the union something. You don't have to pay the political part, but you do have to pay the union to teach. It's basically a bribe. And
wow.
Alabama, you don't have, as a right-to-work state, you don't have to join the union. You can choose to. Here, you don't have to join, but you do have to pay up. Okay, and to answer your question, there are fewer teachers in California now just because we went through the recession. We got rid of teachers and didn't hire them back. So that's why there are fewer teachers in California now than there were.
Now, they didn't hire them back, how is that possible when you've got, I'm guessing, more children? What did you do? Hire more Teach for America, or what did they do?
No, they're just hiring a few more back now, but for years we were losing teachers. It's, you know, this state shift around. L.A., where I am, went from about 700,000 down to about 600,000. The state did go through a budgetary crunch where a lot of teachers were laid off. Now that things are getting better, some are being hired back, but we did lose teachers, and basically class sizes went up a little bit, not very much. But don't forget, as I mentioned much earlier in the call, when times are good, districts overhire. So it's always a big calamity when times get bad and they have to lay off, but they probably shouldn't have hired as many teachers as they did in the first place.
That's so. Right. They've got to hire more teachers because they need more union dues. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you know, it sounds a little
No, that's it. You get it.
You know, it sounds a little bit when you were describing about the teachers' union that they thought they saw the state house as theirs. That was the case in Alabama too. It's really just recently that that ended. But you know, if somebody doesn't control it, somebody else tries to fill in. So you know, we're having a clash here between the BCA, the Business Council of Alabama, and the AEA. And the parents and the teachers and the students are all in the middle because the BCA is, you know, they're promoting Common Core. Now, the AEA supposedly does not like it because their teachers do not like it, you know.
Right.
And if they were to really listen to the teachers, yeah, they should stand against Core. So, but people look at the AEA kind of like, I guess, people would look at the California Teachers Union, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I know in Alabama, even though it's a right to work state, your state teachers union is very powerful. And as far as teachers unions and Common Core, they were for it. Now they're starting to hedge. And the state teachers union in New York is against it, and Chicago teachers union just went against it. So yeah, I think things are going to turn. And you know, I'm certainly not a fan of the unions, but you know, broken clocks are still right twice a day, and I think the union is going to be right on this one.
Well, and see, the thing is, people have a very long memory, you know, and it's not easy to forget what's been done in the past. So, you know, if the teachers union, you know, if the AEA is for you, then you are branded pretty much. Never mind that the other side also, you know, they have so much money floating. But anyway, it's going to take a miracle in every state. It's going to take one in ours, and so... Larry, I'm going to ask God for help in California. I love the spirit of, you know, you folks, you know, Don Wildman, y'all are fighters, you know. You don't want to go with the status quo. You are trying to give, you know, choices for your, you know, for your citizens. You're trying to empower them with truth. And God is so good. You know, truth is powerful, and we're finding that in our state. Our Stop Common Core Alabama Facebook page is growing in leaps and bounds since January of this year. And I feel like that's because, you know, somebody had to light a fire, you know, shine the light, right?
Yeah.
On
yeah,
all the varmints. and so we're finding that, you know, there's teachers joining it and, you know, parents definitely. And so it's growing in numbers. And God is so good. I remember going to the state house and somebody had sent an email, and when we went to the state house, that email had reached all the Congress. It seemed
really?
Like, you know,
wow.
Everywhere we turned around, oh, yeah, we got that email. And I'm thinking, but, you know, that's really the power of, I think, grassroots,
mm-hmm.
You know, and parents really care about their children. I know you used to, you could be apathetic. But you can't anymore. You can't be apathetic because, as I was saying this to somebody, you know, if you don't care now, you may care later. Because when you get old, I know there's a scripture in the Bible. I was just reading that. You know, when you're old, somebody's going to lead you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you end up in a nursing home, you better hope and pray that the person that's taking care of you didn't go through the Common Core. Because it's not sounding good from the mental health therapists that we've heard, Mary Calamia from New York, Joan Landis. It's not. It's putting kids in a negative state of mind, something they're paid to get them out of. So it's really time for parents to study it. And
yes, it is.
Let's just get involved. So I'm going to close this in prayer again. I'm going to pray for California.
Okay,
so if you don't
mind,
Claire, I want to do that for y'all. And Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the people in California. Thank you for Larry. Thank you for Dawn. Lord, thank you for Ms. Christine and all the rest of them that love their state. And they're wanting to have things better. They want to be the state of the free, Lord. And so many of their freedoms, from their freedom to water, their agricultural business, Lord, just so many things, so many freedoms that we used to take for granted. Even water, Lord, is no longer something we can take for granted. And the same fingers for what's going on inside the mind of a child. They are our future leaders. They are our future caretakers. We ask that you enlighten all of us so we can fight the good fight. We ask that you bless California, Lord. Let them have a miracle. And, Lord, we ask that people will vote June 3rd everywhere. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, thank you, Mr. Larry Sands. God bless you.
And, well, thank you, Diane. It's always a pleasure, and good luck, and let's stay in touch.
Yes, and maybe next time we can have Dawn on. So God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you. So, listeners,
thank you,
please, can, please go to Larry's website where he's got his blog, unionwatch.org, and look up his articles. And please listen to his podcast and share it with others. Tell him to go to www.cityonahill.tv. God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Thank you for listening to City on a Hill. Good night.